All right, we are picking up this week with the flood. We had last week the flood. This week we're into the Tower of Babel. So it's quite an interesting story because we're now getting into the point where we've been looking at the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. We've been looking at the growth of this system, the development of this system. And now we're into the point where it's really becoming sort of formalized into two great systems, two kingdoms, really. Now, the kingdom of God, we're going to see it develop later on, as God calls Abraham out of the world. But this week, we're going to concentrate on the kingdom of man, as it is revealed to us in Genesis. And so we're going to have a look in Genesis at this side of it. Is there another stool there, Charlene? Can I just borrow that? I'm just going to throw my... Yeah. Now I don't have to walk quite so far away. There we go. So we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 6, just to pick up kind of where we left off last week and have a look at the way things were progressing as far as the world was concerned. Genesis chapter 6, and I'd like to have verse 12 read for us. And if you guys could, we're going to start, we'll start reading at this end. And Becca, you get to be first. If you can just pop that microphone out, the A microphone there, and pop it right out. There we go. And hold it fairly close to your mouth, and that way we'll be able to hear you on this end. So, Genesis chapter 6, and at verse 12.
So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had been corrupted their way on the earth.
Okay. So we have there the situation where it says that God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. It had corrupted his way. And this is what we were looking at last week, how that the way of God had been corrupted. And so this is the situation developing now. And we looked at the way that the flood had come along and God had destroyed all flesh from off the face of the earth. But the problem was that there was eight people in the ark. And every one of those people, all of them themselves were also flesh. So let's go over to Mark. And we're going to read from Mark chapter 7. And even though God had destroyed all the wicked people from off the face of the earth, in Mark chapter 7... what we find is that you can't take away what's inside the flesh. That is still there. So, Shoshana, if you want to read for us Mark chapter 7, and we're going to pass it down as far as Nathaniel, actually. And we're going to read about what comes out of a man. So even though God had removed all the wicked from the face of the earth, what we have is a situation that you cannot take flesh, or you couldn't take the stuff that was inside of the eight people that were on the ark. So Mark chapter 7, and we want to read verses 20 down to verse 23. Hold it close to your mouth, okay?
And he said, "That which cometh out of man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders,
thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and even an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness.
All these evil things come from within and defile the man."
All right, good stuff, guys. So, Lydia was struggling with a word there, and that's quite fine, Lydia. This is a difficult one. Lasciviousness, okay? Lasciviousness means unbridled lust. And what that, to think of something for you guys that would make sense, if you had a big, big bowl of candy bars, right? You go up to grandma and grandma's house, and they have this great big bag of or bowl of candy bars. Unbridled lust is when they go out of the room, you say, "Oh, I would love a candy bar. And you eat one, and then you eat two, and then you eat 10, and then you eat 20, and you eat 100 until they're all gone. And then you're sick afterwards, right? Well, that's unbridled lust, when you just can't stop. That's what the idea of lasciviousness means. It's when you're doing something that's wrong and you just don't stop. So that's lasciviousness. But notice here, where is it that these things come from? I'm supposed to be writing down on this board. What do I do with a pen? There we go. We are in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 23. Where did it come from? Where did this come from that defiled man? Sarah?
The heart of man.
Right. It's from within. And it's from the heart. And does anybody remember the verse we looked at about the heart of man? It was in Jeremiah chapter 17. And it starts off saying the heart of man. Do you remember the rest of it? Very close. It's desperately wicked. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, right? So that's the heart of man. So you got these eight people on the ark, and even though God took away all the wicked from off the face of the earth, inside of every single one of them, there's flesh, right? There's this proneness, this bent towards doing things that are wrong. And that's the same of every single one of us. If we were to take away all the people in this room, right, and leave just the kids at the table, because you guys are so perfect, eventually one of you and then all of you are going to do something that's wrong, right? And that's what happened to the family of Noah, right? So the family of Noah, unfortunately, went off the rails a little bit. Let's go to Genesis again, and we want to go to chapter 9, because this is the story of Noah and where things go wrong. So Genesis chapter 9, and we want to read verses 20 and 21. Caleb and Shaphan, if you want to share that for us. Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 and 21.
And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard.
And he drank the wine and was drunken, and he was covered within his tent.
Okay, now, kids, here's a lesson. What did it say about Noah last time we looked at him? About everybody in the world, what did it say about Noah? He was a righteous man. He was upright and perfect. In all his generation, the word means upright, right? So here's a guy, he was absolutely a faithful man. He saved his whole house, we looked at what Hebrews told us. And yet, here's somebody who drank too much wine. And that's kind of like lasciviousness. It's when you go too far, right? There's nothing wrong with having wine by itself. But when you drink too much of a thing, that's where it becomes wrong. And he became drunken. Right? So if Noah was a perfect and upright man, there was a billion people thereabouts on the face of the earth, and out of all these people, you've got Noah. If he could fall down this way, so could every single one of us, especially as you get older. Right now, it's tough for you guys because you're not allowed anywhere near the stuff, right? But as you get older, all of us are capable of doing this. So the lesson for us is, don't get involved in this kind of thing, because it can lead us, like Noah did, where you drink too much. And of course, what happened was, he was naked and he was in his tent. And then we read a little bit further. We're going to read verses 22 and verse... let's read verse 22 down to verse 24. And actually, Josh, if you could have your group over there read that for us, that would be great. So this is Genesis chapter 9, verses 22 to 24. Okay. I'm just going to read that out again. It didn't come out very well, so I'm just going to read it quickly at this end. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 22. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren, and Shem and Japheth took a garment laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah knew, awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. So here we have a situation where Noah's in a place where he shouldn't be. He's done something that's wrong, and his younger son thinks this is really funny. He thinks this is something that basically is to be made fun of. And so he goes and tells his brother, guess what I saw? I saw Dad, and this is what had happened. And he made fun of this. And so Noah was not very happy with this. And it goes on to say in verse 25 that he cursed Canaan. So verse 25, Noah cursed Canaan. Now, who was Canaan again? Anybody remember who Canaan was? Why is he cursing Canaan if Ham's the one who's done this? What would be the reason? Shoshana? You're actually close. Canaan was his son, right? And so the consequences of what Ham did are projected onto his son. And so we think of faithful people, right? You think of Abraham was faithful and he was blessed, and so were his children. Ham was a wicked man, and he is cursed, and his children, his Canaan, is cursed. Now, it's interesting. We're just going to look here. The word Canaan it means lowland or something that's low down, okay? Depressed, right? So Canaan is low down or depressed. Okay, so Canaan is low down or depressed, and that's the situation here. Now, the reason we want to look at this is because we're looking at the foundations or the roots of the family of Babylon, really, the seed of the serpent. So let's turn over now to Genesis chapter 10. So that gives you a little bit of background to this man Canaan, and we're going to see where things go from here. Genesis chapter 10 is a whole section that gives us all the different names and backgrounds to the descendants of these people. Now, I don't see a whole lot of concordances up here. Shoshana, do you have yours in your room? Can you run and get yours? Shafin, if you can get two from downstairs. We're just going to take a quick concordance break because we want to look up a couple of names. I'm going to help you out, those that are far away. You can write this down on your notes to start with. We're going to look at verses 6 to 7. We have Cush, and I'm going to give you the Strong's number. Remember, these are Hebrew Strong's. These are Hebrew Strong's number, right? So this is ones that are in the first part, the Hebrew part. Cush is 3568. Then we have Mizraim, and he is 4714. We have Foot, 6316. Okay, those are the three we want to just look up. We're just looking at, very quickly, the descendants of Canaan. Okay, so those are the ones. They come in verses 6 and 7. Chloe, if you could actually read that for us. Verses 6 and 7 of Genesis 10. Nice and loud.
Did you say 6?
Genesis 10, verses 6 and 7.
Okay. And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Seba and Havilah and Sabta and Rama and Sabteca, and the sons of Rama, Sheba and Dedan.
Okay, and one more verse, actually.
Okay. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth.
Okay, so we're sort of building a bit of a family tree here for this family. So let's just look up these words. Cush, 3568, Mizraim, 4714, and Foot, which is 6316. So if you guys want to look those up in the concordance, you got one there? Caleb, you can use that one there. And anybody far away who wants to offer a definition to any of those, just let us know.
Eden has Cush.
What's that? Oh, you fixed it? Okay, good. You got Cush? Okay, Uncle Josh, go for it. Let's have Cush. Okay, so picking out of that then, one of the things you get is that it's the area of Ethiopia, right? So Cush, you have Ethiopia. So when you think of Cush, you think of, we know the name Ethiopia, that's familiar to us. It's also, Ethiopia is also includes what we know today as the area of Sudan. Now that's in the news a lot. Sudan and Ethiopia, wars and battles and all kinds of problems they've got going on over there. The other one is Mizraim. Oh, there's one other thing. The meaning of Cush is sometimes translated black. And I'm just going to give you a verse. We're not going to look it up. Jeremiah 13, verse 23. It tells you there. It says, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Because his skin was black, and that's the meaning of the word. So he's black. Okay, so that's the one section there. This is Ethiopia, Sudan, that area, and the meaning of the word is black. The next one is Mizraim. We want to find out what Mizraim is. Does anybody know what Mizraim is? Nathaniel, you've got Mizraim? Very good. Okay? So Mizraim is Egypt. So sometimes when you read these things in the Bible, they don't make a whole lot of sense until you did a little bit of homework, right? So this is where the Egyptians come from. And I'm just going to give you a verse, which is Exodus 1, verse 13. This word is used there, the exact same word is used of the Egyptians. So if you've got a Bible marking pencil, right, you can write this right into your margin. Next to Cush, maybe put like a little number. It doesn't matter. There might be one there already. You can use that. But like, let's say a number 2. And then you write in the margin, Ethiopia or Sudan. And you put the meaning, which is black, and write Jeremiah 13, verse 23. This is in Genesis chapter 10. I guess I should write that down here, shouldn't I? Genesis chapter 10, and I believe it's in verse 6. Okay, so you can write for Cush, the Strong's number, which is number 3568. You can write the meaning, which is black. Another verse, which is Jeremiah 13, verse 23. And then you can write Ethiopia or Sudan, which is what it means or where it is today. So that is the name Cush. Okay, the next one, Mizraim, we figured it out, means Egypt. And we gave you a cross-reference. Exodus chapter 1, verse 13. And the number, Strong's number, is 4714. Okay? So that's another one that you can write right into your margin of your Bible. Now, the last one we haven't looked up yet. Has anybody gotten the meaning of the last one? Caleb has it here. We have foot, which is Strong's number 6316. Foot, okay. Does it give you a people there with that one? I might have looked it up in Gesenius. Is it?
Persian tribe.
Persian tribe? Okay, not the most helpful in the world. If you look it up in Gesenius, what he tells us is that it is the Libyans. Okay? And it's also translated this in Jeremiah chapter 49 and verse 9, where it talks about the Libyans. And the meaning of the word is actually the bow. So it's a weapon, right? It's got nothing to do with bow ends. That's just entirely different, okay? But this is the bow, okay? A weapon. So here's three names. Now, I just want you guys to use your brains here for a minute and think about this. Where have you heard of Libyans and Ethiopians and maybe Egyptians before? Where would they kind of come in?
It's Jeremiah 46, Uncle John.
Is it 46? 46. Oh, I'm changing the wrong part. Jeremiah 46, verse 9. Yeah. Where have you heard them before?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. We can hear a voice coming from far away. Ezekiel 38, that's right. So Ezekiel chapter 38 is where we find this same idea. These, Cush and Phut, which are the Libyans, the Ethiopians, the Sudanese, they are enemies of Israel. As at one point in time were the Egyptians. They were the enemies of Israel. Actually, they have been for most of the time. Hopefully in the time of the end, things will change a little bit, but that's the way it usually is. So these are the people... Sorry, Nathaniel. There you go. This is the seed of the serpent, the enemies of Israel that are developing out of the family of Ham, right? But now let's follow it down a little bit further. We want to read verses 8 and 9. So perhaps, Aunt Karen, if you could get some of your guys to read that for us. We're looking at Genesis chapter 10, and we want to read verses 8 and 9. Okay, Genesis 10, verses 8 and 9.
And Moses said, "We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds."
Hold on one sec. Genesis 10. You're getting ahead of us.
He was a mighty hunter. He was a mighty hunter. Wherefore it is said, as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before in the beginning of his kingdom was Erech, Akkad, and Chanel in the land of Shinar.
Okay, so we have then this guy named Nimrod, okay? And he is a descendant of Cush. So we have from Cush, we have Nimrod. Okay, and what does it say of Nimrod? He was... A mighty hunter. Okay? So that's the description that's given. A mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, the word Nimrod, I want you to look this one up. So everybody's got a concordance. We want to look it up. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you the number, but I want you to look up the meaning. 5808. 5808. Or 5808. Okay? Let's find this name Nimrod. Find out what he means. See what kind of person he is. What often you can tell from somebody's name. 5808. As soon as somebody's got it, let us know what you've got. Say that again. An army or power, okay? Okay, remember that book I told you a while ago? We talked about Gesenius. He gives you kind of, this is, Strong's gives you the kind of the one sentence meaning. Gesenius gives you the full paragraph. Okay, I'm going to give you what he adds to this. He adds the word rebel. and rebellion. Okay? So we see the idea of a power, strongness. There's an army. It also uses the word valiant, but it is the word rebel. Okay? And so Nimrod is a rebel, and it says there that it is he began to be a hunter, right? He began, where does it say it there? He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. And the idea there is of a mighty one. I'm going to give you the meaning of this one. Mighty is the word 1368, and it's Gibor. Okay? And it literally means a mighty one. It's used in Daniel of Alexander the Great. He was a mighty king, right? So it means somebody who is literally very strong, very mighty, and he's a hunter before the Lord. Now, I want you to take note of this word. This is the last one in that little word study. Before. It is number 6440. And it is the Hebrew word panim, which means face or faces. So Nimrod is a mighty hunter. He's a rebel. And it's against the faces of Yahweh. Okay? Against the faces of Yahweh. So we're dealing with a group of people here who are enemies of Israel. They're people who are rebels. And this guy is against the faces of Yahweh. Now, do you remember where we looked at faces before? In our studies? Back in Genesis? We were looking at faces. Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were thrown out of the garden. They had two boys, Cain and Abel. Remember Cain did something wrong? And what does he say to God? Go back there. Genesis chapter 4. Verse 14. Becca, you want to read that for us? Genesis chapter 4. Just grab the microphone there. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 14.
Surely thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from thy face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond of the earth. And it shall happen that anyone who finds me will kill me.
Okay, so here we have Cain, who was driven out from the face, or the Hebrew, as we looked there, and we marked it in our margins, it was faces, it was plural. Because in that case, it was the faces of the cherubim. So here we have Nimrod, who is against the face, against the panim, the face of Yahweh. And so we have a problem here. We have this group of people, and they're against God. Now, what was Nimrod's job again? What was his occupation, Shoshana? Hunter. Heard of any hunters in the Bible? Rebecca? Esau was a hunter. Who else was a hunter? Cain was a hunter. You begin to see a pattern here. People were out there hunting, fighting, valiant kind of people who were out bloodthirsty, cutting down the little bambies, you know? Well, I mean, obviously they had to survive, but both these men were rebels. Both of them were against the face of God. And both of them are described as being hunters, okay? Valiant, mighty men. All right, so the point we've been sort of getting to, this is all background to really get into our class tonight. It's Genesis chapter 10, and I'm just going to erase this because we need to have a little bit more room. And maybe we could have somebody read for us Genesis chapter 10. And we want to read verses 10 down to verse 14. And Uncle Josh, if you guys want to try that one more time, Genesis 10, verses 10 down to 14. And if you just want to mute mine there, Brent, that should probably work better. All right, lots of really difficult names in there, eh? So we want to just take a couple of them. I'm not going to look at all of them. Do you recognize any of the places of the people that are in that verse? Becca, who do you got in there? Babel, okay? That's going to be the main one we're going to look at. What else is there in that verse? Any others we recognize? Nineveh. I heard somebody say Nineveh. Okay, Nineveh. Okay, anybody else? There's one other one that you might... Sorry, what was it again? Philistim. That's where the Philistines came from. Okay, so Philistim is your Philistines. They were Canaanites. You've heard of Canaan? Canaanites, right? These are all the descendants of Cain. Right? So out of this Canaan, these are the Canaanites. They belong to him. This is where they all came from. So when you're dealing with problems today and you see all these people in the land and they call themselves Palestinians or Philistinians, as Yasser Arafat used to refer to them, they're the descendants of Cain. The Philistines, people from Nineveh, Babel, or Babylon as it becomes to be known. But the point we want to drive at here, the one we really want to look at, is this one of Babel. The beginning of his kingdom was that of Babel, right? So this is the beginning. This is where it all began. This was the place where this all went down. The descendant of the one who was a wicked man and who basically did not honor his father. So let's go over to Genesis chapter 11 now, because here we have the story of this kingdom of Babel. And I want you to sort of put a little headline in your notes. This is the kingdom of Babel. Okay? Now, let's look up the word Babel. I'll give you the number just to help us in our time. 894. Okay? It's number 894. What does the word Babel refer to?
Confusion.
Very good. The name means confusion. All right, so now let's have a look at Genesis chapter 11. And verses 1 and 2, and maybe Uncle Glenn or Sarah and Noah, if you could read those out for us. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 and 2.
Hello, can you hear us?
Yes, we can.
She was talking while I was here.
This is Sarah. And the whole earth is of one language, of one that came to pass as they journeyed from the east on the plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there.
Okay, so very good. So we have then basically the whole earth being one language. Okay, one language, and this is an interesting word. I'm just going to give you what it means. It's the number 1697, and it means reason. Sorry, this is actually not language, it's speech. The word speech means reason or purpose. So if you, some of you older ones may have remembered this a little bit more, but when we think of the New Testament, we have the word logos, which is the word word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, right? And that's in John chapter 1. Well, this is a similar word in the Old Testament that kind of means the same thing. In the beginning was this word speech. And it's actually the word, the Hebrew word for it is D-A-B-A-R, dabar, and it means reason or purpose, right? So it's the expressed reason or purpose. Well, all these people, at the very beginning, they had one language and they had one purpose. And they go and they dwell in the east in the land of Shinar, okay? So quick, what am I doing here? It didn't even look close. Shinar. We're going to look up Daniel chapter 1, verse 2. Noah, could you read that for us? Daniel chapter 1 and verse 2. This gives us a little bit about the land of Shinar. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 2.
Sorry, Noah isn't here right now.
Okay, Sarah, you'll have to do.
Okay, let me get it. What is it?
Daniel chapter 1 and verse 2.
Yep. And the Lord sent Jehoiakim Judah into his hand with part of the house of he carried into the Shinar. And he brought the vessels into the.
Okay, so we have here Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, who is taken to Babylon to the land of Shinar. Well, this is where they are right now. Genesis chapter 11, they're in the land of Shinar. This is where the story takes place. And this is their purpose. Remember, they had one purpose. So who was next to read over at this end? Who do we have? Chloe? Chloe read. Did you not read? I think you read, Chloe. Becca, you're up. We're going to read Genesis chapter 11. And Becca and Shoshana, or Shoshana and Lydia, who's going to read this? Need a volunteer. Okay, Shoshana, let's read verses 3 and 4. Genesis chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. Genesis chapter 11, verses 3 and 4.
And they said one to another, go to let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they have had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to let us build. Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Let we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.
Okay, very good reading, guys. So, here we have the Tower of Babel. This is Babylon. This is what they're going to build, okay? But I want you to tell me the, I was going to say preposition, and that might be the right word. It's, I'm not very good at my parts of speech. You guys should know better. There's one that's used four times, and actually there's five forms of it in here. What word is used at least four times in these two verses? What word is used four times? Becca? Us. Okay, look at that. I want you to take a pencil. If you've got a pencil, circle it. Okay, let us make brick. Let us build us a city and a tower. Let us make us, actually it's five times, a name, lest we be scattered. So you've got us five times. Now, what we call that in this world is somebody who's stuck on themselves, right? It's all about me. It's all about sort of, you know, I want this and I want that. Well, five times they're going to make us a city. But notice what they call it here. So let us, five times. You've got five lettuces in here, right? Okay. Lots of salad. And one we, okay. So this is a really healthy bunch of people, okay. And not only that, but what are they building? What are the things they tell you they're going to build here? Anybody list them off? Caleb? A tower is one of the things, right? A city. One other thing. and name. Where have we heard that before? Somebody wanting to make a name that had something to do with a city. You guys remember this? Becca? Very good. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17. Genesis 4, verse 17. Okay? If Sarah, if you want to read that one out for us. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17. Okay, so here we have a city that was named after a man. So you can see that this is definitely the seed of the serpent. What were the seed of the woman doing? Remember in that same chapter, while the one was naming cities after themselves, what were the other doing? Last verse in that chapter 4. Verse 26. Go ahead. Right, they called themselves by, actually if you look at your margin, they called themselves by the name of the Lord. So here you have some people who are naming cities after themselves and building cities, and you've got other people who are naming their city themselves or their children after the name of the Lord. So it's a society or a civilization. Now I want you to look at a psalm. There's a great little psalm, Psalm 49, and I'm going to read it out to you because we're running out of time here, and we're going to read verses 11 to 15, okay? Psalm 49, verses 11 to 15, and this psalm is all about this kind of people. Psalm 49, and we're going to start in at verse 11. So this is talking about the fool in verse 10. So this is this kind of people. Remember, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. We looked at that. He says, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. So this is what this kind of people do. They name things after themselves because they want their names to continue on and their houses to continue on. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like a beast that perisheth. Their way is their folly. Their way is their folly. See, it's their ways. It's not God's ways. They corrupted his way on the earth. So God got rid of them. Well, here they are at it again. Their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approved their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them. In the morning, and their beauty shall consume in their grave and their dwellings. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, and he shall receive me. So here we have people who have a great name. They're good-looking people. They're famous people. Everybody knows their face. But he says, you put them in the ground and death consumes them. The little worms come out, gobble them all up, and you don't remember them anymore. They're gone. You can't see anything. But he says, I put my trust in God. And God, he says, is going to raise me up and I'm going to live again. And so here is what happens to those people who build a name for themselves. Now, they built this high tower. What is a high tower going to do? Back to Genesis chapter 11. Okay, here is the beginning of the kingdom of Babel. And they build this high tower, right? What is this high tower supposed to do? Right.
To heaven.
Very good. The top, verse 4, is going to reach to heaven. So where have we got the tower here? We got the tower, and it's going to reach to heaven. Who lives in heaven?
God.
Come on, you guys got to answer that question. I can get Shai up here. Who lives in heaven? God, right? They want to reach up. They want to ascend to God. Think back to Genesis, okay? In Genesis chapter 3, what was one of the things that the serpent promised Eve? Becca? She would be like a god. So here's these people. They want to build a tower that's going to reach up to heaven. They want to be like gods, right? It's the same idea. And so here they are. They're trying to ascend up, and they're trying to be like gods. All right, we're going to skip a whole bunch of this. Come back to that. But this is, I wanted to just kind of draw out this pattern that we see developing here. You guys know the rest of the story, right? How that God basically is going to come along and he's going to confound these people and he changes their language so that they can't understand one another anymore. Hopefully this isn't going to fall over. Okay. I want you to just draw this out in your notes. We got two columns and the one is the seed of the woman, okay? And the other is the seed of the serpent. And help me draw this out here now, guys. What do these guys do when it comes to naming people? Seed of the woman. Becca? Okay. They call themselves after the name of God. Okay? Seed of the serpent. What do? Come on here, guys. Becca's answering all the questions. You got to wake up. Here we go. Okay. They name cities after themselves. Okay? Now you tell me, Genesis chapter 11, verses 4 and 5, who was doing this? What are they called? Who's the us? Locate who the us is in this verse. Genesis chapter 11, verses 3 down to 5. Who's the us? What does it tell us? Anybody? Have somebody who doesn't answer that much. Come on. Caleb, you got something on your lips here. Children of men. Okay. What were they called in Genesis 6? Do you remember? Genesis 6, verse 1. Nope, not men of the earth. Genesis chapter 6. Sons of God. Oh, you got the sons of God, okay? That was the seed of the woman. The sons of God. And who was the other people in there? Right. The daughters of men. Okay, so that's who you have at this point in time. Who were the mighty people? As far as this world goes, these ones over here, right? You've got men of renown. They were mighty. Remember, we had Nimrod? They were famous people. And over here, this is what the world considered to be the foolish. But we know them to be the faithful, really. Noah was faithful in all his generations, okay? What was this kingdom called? Seed of the serpent, what was that kingdom called? Shan? No, we read it tonight. The beginning of his kingdom was Pardon? No, we read it tonight. It was talking about
Babylon.
It was Babylon. Very good. So you got kingdom of Babylon. Thanks, John. Okay. How about this side? What is this? The kingdom of who?
God.
Very good. Help if I could spell kingdom. The kingdom of God, later called the kingdom of Israel, which we'll look at later on. But here you've got the kingdom of God, and here you've got the kingdom of Babylon, also called the kingdom of men, right? So you see we have these two parallel things running all the way down. You got on one side the seed of the serpent, on the other side the seed of the woman. And these two things are going to come into conflict one with another. So I want you to look at two more verses before we close. Let's go right to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 17, because this is the beginning of the Bible. Come all the way to the end, because what you find here is that the same battle is still going on. Revelation chapter 17, and we want to read verse 5. Who's next to read? Revelation 17, verse 5. Martha, you want to read that for us?
Sure. 17,
verse 5.
Getting it. And upon her forehead was a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of all nations of the earth.
Paul. Mystery, Babylon the Great. It's right there at the end. What is this woman doing? Come down to verse 14. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And notice who's with him? Those that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So that's Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. So he's at war with the Lord Jesus Christ even when Christ comes. Babylon remains the system that's fighting against the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the seed of the serpent. And what did it tell us in Genesis 3 verse 15? What's he going to do to it? Go ahead. He's going to destroy it. It's going to crush its head. Okay? Now, last verse for tonight. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8. Because this is who we're going to look at in our next class in a few weeks from now. Hebrews chapter 11, sorry. And it's going to be verses 8 to 10, okay? Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 8 to 10. And I'll read this one out for you, actually. Actually, unless, Mr. N, you got that already? Are you there? Hebrews 11, go for it. Hebrews chapter 11 and actually, you can start in verse 7 because we've been talking about Noah. And I want you guys to go down to verse 10. So pass the mic around. Hebrews 11 and verses 8 down to verse 10.
Seven,
you're right. Hebrews 11, verse 7 to 10.
By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
By faith Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went.
By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in a tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promises.
For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Okay. So here is Abraham, and we're going to look at him next week. We'll get into all of this. Two things. Where did he leave? Anybody remember where he left? He left Ur. Ur of the Chaldees, which is in the land of Shinar. Okay, so he's leaving right where all this went on. He left that place. Okay, that's where Nimrod was. That's where he grew up. That's where he established his kingdom. Okay, he says, get out of there. Abraham, I don't want you in the place of the seed of the serpent. So Abraham hightails it out of there. And what does it say he did in verse 10? What was he looking for? Becca? Okay, write that down in your notes. He was looking for a city whose builder was God. So on the one hand, you've got all these people who are trying to build a city, and God confounds their languages. He changes all their tongues so they speak different things. And it'd be really weird if all of a sudden I started speaking a totally different language and started saying, Was geht es das? And you have no idea what I'm talking about, right? Jawohl, mein Herr. And it would be bizarre. Like, we're trying to converse and trying to build something. I can't say, pass me the 2x4 if I'm sort of talking a totally different language. We couldn't do it. They left off building. God confounded their language. What does Babel mean? Confusion, right? It's all confused, and that's what man's wisdom is. So what we want to do is get ourselves out of Babel, away from the building of men and what they want to do, and we want to get ourselves into the mindset of Abraham, who looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And that's what we're going to look at next week. Or not next week, next class. Now, I just want to give you a date. Our next class, God willing, I have to look at the calendar, which is behind here, is going to be, God willing, on March 28th, okay? So March 28th, mark that on your calendar. God willing, that will be our next class, because we have up here spring break, which means quite a few of us will be traveling. We'll be gone for the next 2 weekends, so it'll be 3 weekends on March the 28th. All right? And we're going to close with prayer. Actually, Uncle Grant, I'm going to ask you if you could close with a word of prayer for us.
Dear Lord God, our Father, we come to you thankful for this opportunity that we are able to read and to study from your word. From the many corners of the world, be able to put your word into our minds, into our hearts, into our lives, that we may walk on that path that leads to righteousness, Father, that leads to your kingdom, that we may not be as the children of men, that we may be your children, Father, that we may be a good servant in your eyes, that we may be granted a place in your kingdom, Father, which we pray may soon come. We pray that may you continue to watch over us, guide, guard, and protect us, and keep us safe from harm. And we thank you for the refreshments at this time. May you continue to watch over us. We offer this prayer through Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.